Right. Welcome back to Not Above It, the podcast for serious people who love unserious TV. I'm your host, Jake Flanagan. I'm an attorney and a writer. And this week, again, I am joined by the wonderful, glorious Tasia Mars McDougall. She is a has a PhD in culture and theory. And I love describing her this way. She is a historian of consciousness, which is the coolest thing ever.
It has its moments.
And it has its moments, but also I think it's like maybe like the best possible title for dissecting a Housewives show because there's so many different kinds of consciousness going
Or none.
on. Well, yeah, but is that not, I don't know, that's maybe a kind of consciousness in and of itself, right? A really
We'll work on it.
like lovely, liberating kind of consciousness maybe. We're back in Salt Lake City this week. Episode 4 of season 5 of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The girls are in Milwaukee, lovely Milwaukee. Tasia, what do
Still in
you
Milwaukee.
gotta
Yeah, there's still there.
I feel so bad because I love the, I mean, poor Milwaukee. Listen, I wrote a note down that like Milwaukee got great PR out of this.
Yes, I think that's
Fantastic
totally
PR.
true.
I mean, I can't imagine the city of Milwaukee, Harley-Davidson, Miller Beer get much brand exposure to the people who typically watch these shows.
Right, certainly not curling.
I want to go get the champagne of beers now. Like I
Who
was
does?
watching Mary enjoy that beer and I was like, I think I would like it too.
Right? Yeah, no, it was very cute watching her like suddenly enjoy beer as though it was something she's never enjoyed before. I think it was very sweet.
I've said this to you before. I don't know what meds they have Miss Mary on this season, but I want some
They
because
seem great.
she seems so zen. And I mean, she I
Oh
think
yeah.
even said I'm zenned or like some weird
She
modification of that
that
word
she
that she
seems she does seem like what's the word? Regulated.
Yes,
She seems
homie got a
regulated.
therapist for sure. She's
She,
learning a lot
well,
of words. I don't think she knows the meaning of them, but
that's not the point.
somebody's out
She's
here teaching
learning them.
her. Yeah.
She's learning those words.
Yes, she is. The episode starts with a very strange tribute to Laverne and Shirley, that I, Tasia, I so deeply resented in the deepest part of my soul. I love old TV. I love TV from the 70s and the 80s. I didn't have cable growing up. I had two parents who grew up on 70s and 80s television. I basically just watched reruns with my mom at night. I watched The Facts of Life, The Cosby Show, R.I.P. The Fresh Prince, The Nanny. I also didn't understand at the time that these were not shows that were not airing in real time.
Right.
I didn't
Yeah.
understand them as reruns. So my whole perception of like time and style, I definitely thought whatever was happening on Full House was going on in like 1998, which really
Right. It
did
was
my head
like,
in.
yeah, 89. It
Yeah.
was, when we were little infants is when that was all happening.
Oh, I was not even a twinkle in somebody's eye in 1989. My point is, I loved Laverne and Shirley. I loved Happy Days, Mary Tyler Moore, that whole era of TV. I still love it. I don't believe that Heather Gay has ever seen an episode of Laverne and Shirley in her life.
I am, let me out myself, and say solidarity with Heather, because neither have I.
Yeah, but you're owning it. She's out
Yeah,
here trying
no,
to
I'm
brand herself as like a 70s TV nerd, just like she was pretending she watched Wayne's World in last week's
Yeah,
episode.
that was wild. What was that about?
Stop.
Just pause button on that. Yeah, no, I've never watched Laverne and Shirley. Happy Days gives me strange feelings.
Yeah, I get that. I got that as a kid too. There's something a little creepy about it. I will say Laverne and Shirley is
Yeah.
lovely. Patty Marshall is amazing.
Okay. I've heard good
If nothing else, watch Penny Marshall's character arc on Portlandia, where she comes
things.
back as the long-lost feminist bookstore third co-owner who made it
Oh
big
no.
selling sweater pajamas and marries an NBA player. But she comes back for like two episodes and it's genius. She's
Incredible.
also RIP, Penny Marshall, a real one. Penny Marshall would have put her head through a wall if she knew.
I think a lot of people would be quite sad. But interestingly enough, they were back in that what I wanted to call it the Funko Pop Museum, but it was a bobblehead museum.
Same thing.
Same idea, right? They're, I guess they're just, yeah, they're shaped like Hey Arnold heads. But last week was Golden Girls. We had some Golden Girls action,
Oh,
which
we
great show.
did.
That is that happily we'll watch and rewatch.
Yeah, I don't mind this sort of like clash of not clash, like integration of different TV genres when it's done well. I don't know if you watched the first episode of Potomac. They did like an investigation discovery
Oh
style
no.
reenactment of poor Karen's
Poor Karen.
encounter with a tree stump.
Oh, these things do happen. No, I haven't watched it yet, but I will. This reminds me of something they sort of did. They've done something like this before when Countess Luann had her I was substantially more than a DUI, but where it switched into like almost like a breaking news segment.
Yeah, they've
There's
done a
like
little bit of that.
this kind of this playing with genres and giving us
Yeah.
like these weird little parodies of other genres,
I
which
think
is
Potomac kind of started it though, because they had that thing where a couple seasons ago, I don't know who the producer was at the time, somebody knew, because they were basically playing with like something Karen said that was self-contradictory, and they did like a flashback with like a freeze frame. Remember of that like
Yes.
professional look that had been turned into like a wanted poster of a, it was like a courtroom
Yes.
drawing of Karen.
Oh my God.
It was really upsetting.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, it was
Subtle
like,
foreshadowing.
oh yeah, or clairvoyance maybe.
What's the difference, really?
I do like it, but I wish this like cross genre multimedia fun was a little bit more on theme, maybe. Like,
Yeah.
they're in the Rockies. Do something with Dynasty.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Laverne and Shirley, it's set in Milwaukee.
I don't
I
know. Yeah. I
guess they went to
understand.
a beer place. I like that. Yeah. It feels too on the nose.
I would love to see Lisa Barlow in like a 70s nighttime soap
Oh,
outfit
yeah.
reenactment kind of thing. Like
Yeah.
a, yeah, that would be
Yeah.
killer. And now I'm praying for like Beverly Hills to do some kind of like Beverly Hills 90210 Melrose Place spinoff. That's maybe a little bit too on the nose, because I feel like half that cast was on Melrose Place at some point, right?
Right, right, right. They can only, it's only so much of a reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sort of a flop start to maybe a bit of a floppy episode, in all
Floppy.
honesty. You know what? We got to get from point A to point B, or point A to point C maybe, and this was a point B episode.
Yeah.
I don't
And
know
it
if we,
felt like it.
yeah, I don't know if we needed two episodes in Milwaukee, but that's what we got.
What we got.
The women are sort of doing their getting ready montage for a day full of Milwaukee themed events. Another continuation on theme is Meredith being a motherfucking snitch.
Snitch.
Meredith is a rat.
She will not stop
Which
snitching.
is weird, because she is from Chicago. Like, she
Yeah,
knows
isn't that your thing?
who
Don't know.
gets snitches.
Oh
Like,
my
because she would. Come
gosh.
on.
Well.
She basically says to Lisa, while Lisa is getting her hair and her makeup done. Lisa, by the way, looks great without makeup.
Lisa looks amazing.
She looks so good.
Both her and Meredith, I really do need to know who their people are.
Yeah, I don't understand her meltdown last year about like not having glam or whatever, and like losing her mind over not having her makeup artist around, because she looks great without
She
makeup.
looks
Like,
incredible.
yeah. Anyway, Meredith tells Lisa that Angie and Whitney had approached her the night before and told her that she should be, quote, careful of Lisa, reminding her of all the times that Lisa has said incredibly awful things about Meredith.
Some terrible,
Called her like
terrible
a
things.
garbage whore who fucked half of New York. It's...
Garbage whore is an important insult, though.
Was it garbage
Sometimes
whore? I think it was garbage
garbage
whore.
trash whore. So it was
Garbage
garbage
trash
whore,
whore.
I think, is in the is it's garbage whore, I'm pretty
That
sure.
hot mic moment was so glorious, because it really encapsulated like all of the possible insults that a housewife from any city could levy against another housewife. Like, it was like a little bit New
Right.
Jersey, it was a little bit New York, it was a little bit,
Right. It was
It was
It
an
was
Epcot
a
center of
it
housewife
was it
insults.
was a tran it was a what transcontinental
Yeah.
s survey of things we could say about about any given housewife, which is fabulous.
Yeah, a smorgasbord. My question for you is, do we believe that Angie and Whitney really wanted to invite Meredith over to their side, or do they know Meredith by now? And was that a coordinated strike? Like, we know whatever we say, she's going to bring back to Lisa. Let's
Right. What's their strategy here? So
I don't know.
I don't, it feels a little bit impenetrable, and it feels like there is an attempt, it feels like watching it, there's this a sort of attempt to, it's like we're seeing too much of the building of a storyline, like just a little bit too much.
Yeah, flashbacks from 24 hours prior.
Right. And with Meredith, this, like they, I mean, they would have to, you have to assume that she's going to speak to Lisa about this.
Yeah, or
You'd
anyone.
have come, you,
Anyone.
that's, I mean, it's the point of the show. It's going to get to Lisa. I don't know
Yeah.
how it wouldn't. But I don't know that they were genuinely trying to get Meredith over to their team.
Yeah.
Meredith has a teamlessness sort of a feel to her, where
Yeah.
she seems to not just like float between, it's not even float. I don't know how to describe it. It's like she doesn't like any of them.
Oh, not at all. And she's zanned out half the time. I actually have a note
And,
about this and a theory about this that we'll talk about in a little bit.
ooh, amazing. So yeah, she doesn't, she just doesn't seem like she gives like a single solitary fuck, really, about any of them, with maybe the exception of Lisa, but back in season like one or two. That's when I think she may have actually liked her.
I think she, I don't know if she's, maybe she liked her sort of passingly. We have to remember that Meredith has like a 1 inch deep relationship with the entire city of Salt Lake City. She moved there like maybe like a year before the show started. She has no family there. I don't think any of her kids live there now. I think they pop in to like appear on the show for 2 seconds. Her husband is like in Ohio or something. She's in LA, New York, wherever. I do think she views the show very much as a vocation and everyone else as a colleague. Maybe she liked Lisa at the very beginning. I think that's gone now. I think she
Yeah,
sees
I don't think
Lisa
that
as like
exists.
a very worthy adversary and someone who is very powerful or like powerful with the audience who she necessarily doesn't want to be not associated with.
Right. I think, yeah, Meredith, that, and maybe that's why float isn't the right word. It does feel like there's a certain kind of, how could I put it? Like,
Meredith is that coworker that you are extremely intimidated by, who doesn't share a lot in meetings. You
No.
know nothing about her home life.
Not really,
Comes
no.
in, she comes in, she does her job. You don't know if she likes you or if she hates you, but occasionally she in the staff room, she like makes a little like quippy remark about someone else to you, and you're like, oh my gosh, she loves me.
Right, exactly. Some part of her is calculated, and it feels calculated despite how whatever Xanax she might or may not be on. But there's also like a I can't find the word just now, but there's
It doesn't stick to her. The show doesn't stick to her.
no,
She's
it
very
really does
unaffected.
slide off of her back, yeah.
She's not affected by it, and it really paints a strong contrast with how much Lisa is affected by the show, like in real
Yes.
time. She,
Yes.
I noticed in this scene in particular, she is like the
Completely agree.
definition of psychological reactance, right? Like she gets so angry, almost.
We go.
Okay. Sorry, folks, technical difficulties. I was saying that Lisa has this very reactive energy on the show. She gets angry, almost violently so. And any sort of like characterization or like identity that she has not personally crafted is being projected onto her. She gets so, and understandably so, we all do, but that seems to really trigger her.
It, yeah, it, and it, like, it does seem to trigger her and freak her out in a way that is even slightly beyond the call of that kind of like forced identification, right? It's even seems like beyond, like, yes, that would piss me off too. Absolutely, I completely agree. But it's so far past the like, okay, well, that's not really me and that's not what I'm trying to do. It's like immediately screaming.
She doesn't want to lose grip on the narrative of Lisa Barlow whatsoever,
That's
even for a
right.
second.
That's right. Yeah. And in that, like, if Meredith is calculating, so is Lisa, but Meredith has the word I was looking for was disinterested. She has like a disinterest in the ways that she's calculating, whereas Lisa is very interested. She's very invested in the way she knows that she's being portrayed.
Lisa, in a way, this is interesting. Meredith reacts like an attorney. Like, doesn't matter what you say about me, whatever. Lisa reacts like a client. I want you to go back there and kill that motherfucker for saying X, Y, and Z about me.
Right.
Sue them,
And
sue them,
Meredith is
sue
like,
them. Meredith is like, well, the process, it takes a long time, and I don't know if I have the energy,
yeah. And
you don't really have
is it worth
standing, and
it?
is it worth it? It's going to cost you a lot. Are you sure you want to? People talk, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that is exactly right. It is a very much a it is an attorney's disinterest in the petty squabbles.
But it also informs the way that she sort of like provokes the squabbles, right? Because it's
For
never
sure.
like she's always the messenger. And there's always some nebulous group of third parties that she can attribute the gossip
Some
to.
they are saying, somebody is saying, it is being said.
As Giselle would say, the streets of Potomac are saying.
Exactly.
Anyway, Lisa reacts very angrily. She eventually has to share some screen time with Whitney, who comes in and tells her about they're going to these beer caves, which honestly sounds like the most exciting thing they've done on the trip thus far. Lisa
Truly.
is not into it, and Lisa gets so she gets very loud and angry in one moment, and then she gets very spookily angry in another
Yeah.
moment. That was truly one of the most chilling
It
encounters
was
I've ever seen.
deeply unsettling.
So unsettling, and she knew it.
And Whitney is completely thrown off balance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, doesn't quite know. She knows something's wrong. But of course she has no, quote unquote, no idea what's wrong here. But
I think it's not so much that she has no idea what's wrong. She's like, it could be a number of things, and I
Right, it
don't.
could be any, right. She doesn't know which one it is, but she does, so, but she knows something is very wrong. And Lisa g gives her this very quiet sort of rug pull on her plans.
The it's she elevates passive aggression to an art form. Like,
To a platonic form.
I never want to talk about any of these women's kids, but can you imagine like fucking up in that household as a child and she pulls that on you? I would shit myself.
No, I would be very I'd be spending a lot of money on therapy later, like a lot, and like, oh, I did something really bad because mom's not was too quiet.
I mean, I probably should admit this. My mom was a little bit like that, not in a really bad way, but I knew that if my mom got quiet and started speaking softly and using very few words, I was in deep, deep shit. Like, so much worse, almost to the point where I wish she would have just hauled off on me.
Yeah, my mom was the precise opposite, where she was quiet almost all the time. She would talk to you really calmly, but if you provoked her into yelling, you have fucked up in a way that you may not want to live with her ever again.
Well,
Scary lady when she was that mad.
our housewives, our moms,
Really? What's the difference?
the women in our lives. So Lisa passes on the Miller caves, the Miller beer caves. Instead she decides to go curling with Brittany and is it Maylie? Miley?
Maylie?
Maylie. Poor girl's
Maylie.
not getting any screen time. She
Well, she said
sure look.
something quite interesting for a split second.
Was it the I was a figure skater.
Yeah, and I just decided not to. Wait a minute. But why? What happened?
Well, okay, I had a different reaction to that because She was like, I was training for the Junior Olympics and then I decided to walk
Mm-hmm.
away. I was like, girl, you were nine.
Right.
You.
All of that, fair reaction. What caught my attention about saying this was that usually when someone says something like that, they usually mean like I had an injury, or I like something physically prevented me from doing it, because like I grew up around young, I was not one of them, but around young athletes who were, and my dad was was an Olympic qualifier
Oh, wow. And
many
what
years ago.
sport?
Runner.
Oh,
My
wow.
dad was a runner. My brother was trying to be a professional baseball player. And there is like this kind of drive that comes usually through a lot of these kids, or through their parents, it depends. But when it's their parents, usually their parents don't want them or let them walk away, especially in the past. Now, I think parents might parent slightly differently, I hope. But parents usually don't let their kids just walk away from something. And like, unless there's like a physical barrier that they've reached
Yeah,
in
maybe
some way.
that could
And
happen in
so,
figure skating.
it can, but usually when people say that, they say, well, I injured my knee and I was never really going to be able to do it again. Walking away is like, that's like a peek into something
I
that I have
listen.
no idea what it is.
I would love to, I would hope that there's something interesting there from what I've seen thus far of Melee.
It's no good. I know. It might really be nothing.
I don't think that. Also, that was such a weird scripted. I don't know. It was like I'm comfortable on the ice because as a child, I was like, is this the 5 o'clock news? Like what?
Right. No, it's very strange. It's
I'm
very
Melee
strange.
Workman. Back to you, Bronwyn. Bronwyn wonders, they're in the sprinter van on the way to the caves, and they're talking about why the other women went curling instead of going to
Right.
the beer caves, which again, like why would you go curling when there's a cave of beer to be had?
Of all the things.
And she this is funny, she's basically like, did Lee I wonder if Lisa like walked down the hall and saw the first two faces and was like, hey, you want to go curling? This didn't happen, but what would should have happened is they should have cut to another confessional where Lisa was like, that's exactly what happened.
Precisely.
It's exactly what I did.
Exactly. Just grab the first two people I saw. Oh.
So while the curling is getting set up, they're on another sprinter van. Meredith
And
confesses that she did indeed rat on Angie and Whitney, and that is the reason why Lisa has chosen an alternative activity for the day. Or the producers chose another alternative for Lisa to further inflame the divide in the group, which didn't make sense because Lisa didn't choose anyone who like fell on a
No.
side. She chose like the wild cards, the
The two wild cards. The two wild cards. And like, it's not like Meredith went with her.
No. When and speaking of, I love how housewives will listen in on a conversation about a conflict that they know they caused. Like Angie did this a few weeks ago. Like it was when Lisa was trying to figure out who told Whitney that she was mad about the Nick Vile podcast. And Angie's sitting there kind of like slow blinking like a goldfish. Like, I know I'm the one who did it. But there's always this moment where someone will directly accuse them and be like, did you do it? And they're like, well, I was pleading the fifth, but now I have to say something.
Right.
Thing where they're like, well, of course. And it's like, well, if it's of course, then why have you been quiet this entire time?
Right. Why didn't you just stand on your business and say it? Like, stand on business and say what you said.
Yeah, Meredith does it so well where she'll just sit there, pretend like she doesn't realize what's going on, and then she'll be like, of course, are you an idiot? Like, of course I
Yeah.
did that
Yes, it was in my contract
Yeah.
and I didn't want to be sued by Bravo, so of course I said it. What?
Overall, the curling is a flop. I was not into what was going on. But
Was no good.
one interesting, it was Bobblehead Museum 2.0, basically. But one interesting
Indeed.
thing that I liked was Brittany gets a text from Jared. I'm so invested in this Brittany Jared storyline. It's the most interesting thing that's going on this season, in my opinion. But
It so far, yes, it is the most interesting and
I screen grabbed the text, and I just want to read
amazing.
you how awful this is. It's going to be
Yes.
triggering because we've all gotten texts like this. I think at some point he called her, she didn't pick up, and he just wrote, ouch, period. The worst. Then later he texts, hey, BFF, go to jail
Oh,
immediately.
wow. I.
Hey, BFF, where are you?
Oh, I wish the listeners could see my face because it's just disgust.
Maximum security prison. N
Forever.
no parole.
No. You go life. It's
Yeah.
life for you.
Then the big text, the beefy text. Wow. Just got my head bit off, which means I think there might be some context missing, or maybe they spoke on the phone and she said something to him that we're not party to, or he's
Perhaps.
projecting something. The whole he may not know what having one's head bit off means. I feel like that's essentially like saying fuck you in Mormonese. Like it's
Perhaps,
the knowledge of combative language might be a little thin, but he says, wow,
yeah.
just got my head bit off. This is really fun, Brit. He also keeps calling her Brit with two T's. I don't think her name has two T's in it, which is annoying.
Best
But
friends.
he says, call me when you can. I thought I meant a little bit more to you than just to go dark on me. Obviously, you're not sending me read receipts anymore. Pause for effect. And you have terminated the friendship. Please, please give me a heads up so I know what to expect. None of this feels genuine or kind. I'm a little triggered by dot dot dot. Then the rest of the text gets cut off. Lisa immediately calls it for what it is. She's like, this is so manipulative, which is,
So, like,
it's the worst.
it's the worst and it's embarrassing. Isn't
Block
he like
text.
60?
Yes, he is sending an this is a little misogynistic, but there's a type of text that a certain type of girl sends, and I call it the I just think it's funny that dot dot dot
Oh
text.
no. Yeah, no, you're right. I just think I so I yeah, silence. I just think it's funny that and
Anytime a
ooh.
girl starts a text with I just think it's funny that, it's going to be 5 pages of text.
Yeah, you're getting a you are getting a short novel. A short novel that would have been probably better suited to be put into a journal or a
Yeah.
diary.
Write it,
Fan
regret
fiction.
it. Write it,
Yeah,
regret
well.
it. Say, what is
Hey.
it? Say it, forget it. Write it, regret it. In the
This
words
is the
of
thing.
the Grand Dame of, not the Grand Dame, Dorinda Medley said that.
The tornado.
The
It's
tornado.
true. It's true.
Yeah.
You can't put things in text if you don't want evidence.
My thing is, Brittany, if a man sent me that, the my attraction would go so far back up into my body and
This
into my soul.
it's one of the ways it's one of the most pristine ways to get the ick.
Oh, I would
It's
be
just
drenched in ick.
like, okay, you know what? Block. I don't need to do this.
I don't even know if I
And
would block, because at that point I would start pitying. I'd be like, oh, this little boy has extreme emotional instability. There clearly some withheld affection in the household growing up. Like
oh, it is the Osmonds.
this is how he gets what he wants.
Yeah, by having a little temper tantrum.
Yeah, I did like we got another little peek into Lisa's really beautiful cafeteria Mormonism that we waxed poetic on last week, where she says she
Love
calls Brittany a quintessential LDS girl born and bred to please a man.
Well, well,
And
the shoe
she's and she
fits.
really leaves, yeah, she leaves nothing left unsaid. And she kind of leaves us with this wonderful, like, have you seen that video where Cher talks about men as desserts?
No, but it sounds like something I would love.
There's this, I'm gonna send it to you when we wrap up, but there's this
Incredible.
great interview from the early 90s where Diane Sawyer, somebody is asking Cher, like, aren't you lonely? Like, don't you want a man? And she says that men, sure. She's like, yeah, great. Men are great, but men are like dessert. Dessert's great. You don't need it to live.
Well, that is just one of the great facts.
Yeah. And I'm bowled over by Lisa Barlow's like enlightened feminism. Like, I just did not expect that from her.
Here's the thing, and because I need to call myself out and in here, right? Is
Sure.
I think those things always mean something different depending on whether the woman saying it is someone who's married or someone who's been
Yeah, yeah.
single for a long time, right?
Sure.
And it's not a question of bitterness, it's not a question of any of those things. I have the same feeling And I'm married, and I've been married twice. Is like, n yeah, men, I don't. This means something totally different if
It does.
I would have said that and had never really had like not gotten married a second time, or had like not or not gotten married first time, and just kind of was living my single life. It does mean something slightly different. And that's not to cast like aspersions on Lisa saying this. She's right. The point stands in either case, but it's just there's like a subtle little difference. Just a subtle one. And Cher is right to say this. And so is Lisa.
Lisa did say, like, yes, it's, she's like, it fucking rocks to have a man that you love. She's like, I love it. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
exactly.
But you, I think her point is like, you can still have a great life without a man. And you can absolutely, you can have a better
Yes.
life without a man sometimes, especially in this case.
Well, yeah, if they're gonna just drive you up the wall
Yeah.
and send you weird manipulative texts, like what's the
Yes.
point here? What are we
Oh my
doing?
God, that was a text from a girl, a 20, 21-year-old college girl who was in her first situationship.
Oh, well, and for me, that's a text from a demon. That's a text from a demon. I don't want to know any of that. I'm gonna pour salt in a circle, and I'm smudging my house. I've really heard enough.
Yeah, that's Mephistopheles would be like, hey, BFF.
Yeah, really.
Ouch.
Exactly. I mean, who needs those bad vibes?
I rebuke thee in the name of
Truly.
Cher.
In the name of Cher.
So they get to the Miller Beer Caves. And Mary discovers the champagne of beers. She
And
says
I'm
it.
so happy for her.
She loves beer. Her and Brett Kavanaugh would hit it off, maybe in more ways than one.
Oh no.
He says it's regal. And yeah, I just love how Mary is coming out of her shell this season. We talked about it a little bit last week.
Yeah.
I don't want to entirely ab absolve her of any. Listen, we don't know what darkness may or may not exist in the Mary circle, but she seems to be doing great. It's interesting.
Right.
This is coinciding with a lawsuit that she just filed,
Oh.
actually against the people who ran the finances of her church. So her church officially came out recently that her church officially closed down in 2022 when she left the show the first time and refused to participate in the reunion, probably to avoid any questions
Right.
about that. She is now suing two or three people who were members of her church who she claims handled the finances for her church. It hasn't been thrown out yet, which means there is some fact finding
There's
to happen
something
there.
to happen. Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it exonerates her, but it may very well exonerate her. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Hard to know. With Mary. So she is coming out of her shell, and she's far more likable. She feels likable, and she had this very funny little moment at the very beginning when they were getting ready, and she's got a hot comb on her hair, and Whitney's like, "What is that?" She's, it's for black girls. And it's like it was it didn't attain the level of like shady. She wasn't really being she didn't it doesn't clear the bar of like what people who are a pain in the ass like to call reverse racism. It couldn't it like you know it's not that. She was just literally looking at her and saying, "You wouldn't know what this is.
Yeah, I'm
It's
not going to
fine.
expend the energy and
Yeah, don't worry about it. You don't need to know." And I just found that to be just such a nice little window into a new Mary that we're sort of seeing in terms of at least the character she's portraying.
For sure.
I think it's interesting. I think it's
She
fun.
seems, yeah, she seems so much more enthusiastic and like open-minded and not as, just
And
frankly, not as miserable.
truly, and I have to wonder if that has to do with less visibility of her step grandfather husband, because he
He's not even,
hasn't been kicking around.
yeah, he's not around. I Don't know if they're in the process of separate. There was a rumor that they were separating, possibly divorcing. She kind of shut that
Ooh.
down. I could totally see Mary being the kind of person who stays married to that man until she dies, but they are, for all intents
Yeah.
and purposes, divorced. My grandparents
Yeah.
did it. They were like essentially divorced, but they
Yeah.
stayed married for a very long time, even though they lived in different places.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could
I
see. Well,
think.
she said in past season she doesn't even they don't sleep in the same bed. They don't she's like happy when
No.
he's not around.
I think he lives in like Orlando or Indiana half the year or something like that. So,
Okay.
yeah. Yeah, maybe he was the dark cloud kind of hanging over our girl for a little bit.
It's possible.
One thing I did note is that so she the after they're done sampling their cheese and their beer, this guy is like, "Oh, the caves are haunted." And also Mary lights up at that. She
She does.
girl's a creep. I love it. Like, she loves the freaky shit.
Oh
She's
yeah.
all
Oh
about
yeah.
it.
She's a certified freak in that way, for
But the
sure.
best part is that I don't even did they even tell the ghost story? I don't even know, because Barry stole the show by telling everyone that her dad watched police bring cooked body parts out of Jeffrey Dahmer's apartments.
Lord, Lord,
And
truly.
Tasia, the best part is some wonderful person on Reddit by the with the
Yes.
username of something I can't pronounce, but her tag is Harry Hamlin's Canadian mistress, which
Sure.
I love.
Yep. Good for her.
Did a she he they did a deep dive and pulled up some public records, finding that Mary Cosby's father, according to the July 1972 marriage license to her mother, said that his address in 1991, when Dahmer was arrested, was 924 North 25th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Oh, sorry, that was Jeffrey Dahmer's address. 924 North 25th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mary's dad that same year lived at 845 North 26th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So he
So
was probably just right behind
right.
wherever Dahmer was living. And if the wind on one day picked up in the right direction.
Oh, just the worst. Yeah, no, I really like that this is like from what this Redditor has figured out is sort of like a true piece of lore about Mary.
Yeah.
I just it's just great that this is not some weird exaggeration. It's not some weird little fantasy. It seems like it may actually be the case. And all the power to her. I mean, I would need Jesus if my father told me that.
Be
I
a
would
rough
need
one.
Jesus, you know?
Well, she has Jesus. I don't know if you know. She if
She
you
may in fact be.
and if you
No.
come for her, she will send him after you.
Oof.
So this is the note about Meredith I wanted to make. I thought this was a really funny moment where so Mary's telling this story about Jeffrey Dahmer. Bronwyn and who else? Angie? I think it's Bronwyn and Angie are like over here doubled over. They're losing their minds. They're like, this is the wildest thing I've ever heard in my life. Meredith is staring up into a corner of the cave, completely disassociating. And I think this is why she loves Mary so much, because I think Mary starts talking nonsense. Meredith shuts the fuck down. And she's like, oh, this is like meditation. Mary can just talk. Mary thinks I'm listening. I just validate her. But I get to go to Meredith land for 20 minutes. Think about nothing.
And another thing that I just get is like, I'm just gonna let this person just she can just yap for me,
Yeah.
and I can like occasionally go, yeah,
That's wild.
But
It's like,
meanwhile, I'm on an adventure in my own world.
yeah, it's like a bath for the mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So back at so Heather and Whitney have not joined the girls in the further reaches of the beer caves to hear Mary's terrifying
Right.
cannibalism story. To basically fill Whitney in on the Alibaba allegation
Ali
that will not die.
Alibaba.
Alibaba. Heather says people have, this is great. Heather says people have been talking about your business. Whitney says, in what way? And Heather says, it's legitimacy. And Whitney's eyes go wide. And she's like, oh my God. But you can tell she has no idea what the fuck that means.
She's nothing happening. She's like, uh-oh,
She's like,
something.
oh.
There's an alarm. I don't know what it is, though.
Oh, not the legitimacy
Of
of the business.
the business.
I thought I filed something for that. So Whitney is claiming that the Alibaba vendor, this is a tangled web. This is what I've gathered from some very light research. I also don't really care about this. So my facts may not be lined up here, people, but deal with it. Whitney is claiming that the Alibaba vendor stole her company photos to use on their website.
Sure.
I guess it's smart. It's a smart claim. That's what I would advise my client to say.
Okay, girl. Which is, the response to when lawyers say something, bring up something that is like, this is the sort of the logical nut to present,
Yes.
is like, they actually took it from us. It's like,
Create confusion.
meanwhile, the rest of us are like, that's not how anything works
No.
at all.
Whitney says she wonders if Meredith did not learn her lesson from last year. Stay out of DMs, stay out of documents. I have to say, as an attorney, you are not going to get any attorney to stay out of documents. We love a document. If there's a document to be documented and read, we're going to
That's
get in
right.
there. Last week, there was a horrible, horrible accident in West Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Remember where I used to live, Fountain and Spaulding? Right at that corner, my good friend still lives there. Horrible, horrible accident. We don't really know the cause. It's suspected that the driver was under the influence of something.
Oh.
There was no in there were no details given about who the driver was. Bitch,
Oh.
I love a document. Took me
Well,
20
because there's
minutes
documents.
to find the suspect. I would say the alleged possible suspect.
Right.
All I had was a picture of the back of that motherfucker's head. And I found him in about 25 minutes.
The doxing queen.
Truly, yeah. You're not going to
Well,
get us to if there the way you resolve the issue with Meredith is you don't let there be documents to be to be had.
right. You do it on the phone, you do it in person. You don't put it in a text, you don't put it in an email. This is what every lawyer I've ever known has advised me. If you're going to do something that's even questionable and you have to talk to somebody else about it, first of all, don't. But if you must,
Do it in person.
do it in person and do not put it in writing
No.
anywhere, not even in your journal. That's when you don't even journal.
Dorinda Medley.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Write it, regret it. And also, this kind of feeds into in my overarching theory of like how Meredith is being dealt with this season. I think a lot. So Meredith last season, when you catch up on season four, you'll see this. She was getting a lot of heat for stuff that Monica may or may not have been doing.
Right.
But I think Meredith was up to some shady shit, and Monica was a very convenient scapegoat to take 110% of the blame when she may have only been to blame for 60 to 70% of it. Because
Okay.
Meredith's still doing the same shit. People are saying, I got a DM about X. I found this thing,
Right.
someone came to me.
Right. The lawyer, like the lawyerese is lawyerising. Like she
Yeah.
is spe like, and just the little dig through, a little dig through, you can find this stuff without having to anybody, nobody has to say it. She can just dig through the documents as you've just
I would kind of
said
respect it
you
more
like to do.
if she owned up to digging through the documents, to being a doxing queen.
Yeah, well, yeah. It would be cool if she was just like, no, I have a dossier on all of you,
Yeah.
and I'm collecting information.
Yeah, and I'm about 2 minutes from releasing it.
I will release it, or I will take you to court, or I'm just gonna sit on it, and I'll just keep it for
Yeah.
myself.
Just put it on a little black book and then occasionally just subtly put it on the table.
Right.
Daniel Staub.
Right. Like they all try to do when they bring a binder of text messages to
Yeah.
the reunions, right? It's just like ha just like look, no, it is in the book.
Oh yeah,
Don't
you know that
start.
bitch has a filing cabinet of binders that we've never seen.
Absolutely. But her binder's full of women. Another
Yeah.
great Mormon line.
So this is all happening on the Sprinter van to the Harley-Davidson Museum or
Yes.
HQ something. They're gonna have a dinner there. They get to the Harley Davidson Museum. I have to say, the looks were like pretty fantastic. Like everyone
They were
looked
great.
fantastic.
Yes.
And I mean, not to bring up Cher twice in one episode, but Angie was very much giving like if I could turn back time video with
Yes.
the crystal
Yeah. It,
choker and the it was amazing.
precisely. They looked great. It
It
was
kind of Angie
the
looked
looks
like
were fun.
Cher in the If I Could Turn Back Time video if she had discovered like the if she had discovered the hot comb about 10 years before Do You Believe in Life After Love.
Oh my gosh.
Lisa was dressed like Lydia Deetz if she was a US senator, which I really liked.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. This is so accurate. It's freaking me out a little bit.
And then one last thing I want to note. This is kind of mean, and it has nothing to do with her clothes, but I for weeks have been trying to figure out what does Bronwyn remind me of? The way she interacts with people, she's this very sort of like stilted, kind of waspy way of I see a little bit of myself in the way that she talks. Like I express myself that way a little bit, which is perhaps why I'm attuned to it. But it hit me like a lightning bolt out of the sky last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. I literally woke up and was like, oh, she talks like a pigeon. Like she looks at
Like
you,
the bird?
out of
Oh my God.
the side of her head. Folks can't see what I'm doing, but I'm doing the head motion. It's like if a pigeon is on a very high building and it's looking down at a piece of garbage or food on the sidewalk, that is how Bronwyn moves her head. It like
Oh.
swivels and she looks at you out of the side of her face.
You're completely right. I'm not like now I'm doing it to mimic. It's perfect.
She's
Yeah,
a pigeon.
she moves like a pigeon.
It took me weeks to figure that out, and it just came to me last night. Divine
Incredible.
inspiration.
Incredible.
Also, I did not realize that Whitney and her husband were Harley people, but it totally makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I too did not realize, having grown up around Harley people, not my family, but the neighborhood I grew up in was there were a lot of bikers
I was gonna say,
and Harley people.
in another life, you and Max would be a Harley couple, I think, but you would be driving.
Oh yes. That's probably true. I am very much a Peggy to his Hank in the case of a motorcycle. Yes, completely true. But so I was around these people a lot, and this actually caught me completely off guard. I did not expect this. Looking back at it, I'm like, okay, yeah, I see it. But leading into it, I would have never even it would have never even occurred to me that they were Harley people.
But it tracks. So they're getting set up for another mealtime brawl, which I'm just paying attention to it more, but this seems to be like an increasingly prevalent trope on Salt Lake City. Like every episode ends in a meal where people
Where they
scream at each
break, it
other.
breaks down. Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it happens probably once an episode on other shows, but I don't know. It
Yeah.
just feels a bit more formulaic here. It's always happening towards the end of the episode.
Yeah, I think that's roughly right. But also, I think it's becoming more prevalent with Salt Lake City, but I also like I'm thinking of some of the other series and where some of these big breakdowns happen. And sometimes they happen at meals, like sit down meals, but just as often they happen at like this little party that was being thrown or this thing. Like even in the earlier seasons of Salt Lake City, the big blowouts did not necessarily happen at a meal, but now it seems to always be like sit down at a meal. I wonder if there's a big height differential between someone and someone else. And so they
Oh.
have to all be sitting to kind of make it
You know,
cohere properly.
Angie and Mary are quite petite.
Yeah. So I wonder if it has something
Interesting.
to do with that,
There
like
should
on
be
like a
a.
boring production side.
It could be, yeah. I mean, it also is just
Just.
a. It's a. I guess it's a predictable tableau. Like it's like
It
the
is.
producers know what they're going to get if they've hyped everyone up into a. They've like frothed them all up into their various interpersonal conflicts, which like 4 episodes in, I think episodes. Like they will not die. I do think there should be a tell-all like coffee table book on the production logistics behind like the top 10 Bravo dinners from hell.
Yes, I completely agree. I
Like
complete
the table flip, the one the Beverly Hills medium e-cigarette lady. Remember, he will never emotionally fulfill you.
Yes.
Candace coming after Ashley with a butter knife.
Yes, I want
Like,
that one. I do also want the is it Candace and Monique
oh yeah, that
situation.
was a kind of a bar though. That was like a
That, yeah, it was like a
charcuterie
stand-up
and
thing. It was a stand-up thing, but I would like, yeah, it was a charcuterie
Apparently
situation.
Monique went like buck. Like she was like trying to find other
Yeah.
ways into the room. She was like a tiger, like stalking the perimeter, trying
Yes.
to
She was very upset, very
Yeah.
cross. Yes, she did in fact do that, as far as from what I hear. Yeah. But yeah, the sit down, it does all seem to always culminate with these dinners. And it is becoming more and more the case. And I do have to wonder why. I think part of it could be that it's like height difference to make sure people are all in the shot. That's definitely possible. Could also be some weird, more not Mormon thing specifically, but Utah law thing about the ways that food and alcohol can be served.
Interesting. Yeah.
That could pop be playing a role. I'm
Maybe it's
wildly
in somebody's
speculating.
rider. Like, hey, if I'm gonna be
Hey,
fighting, I'm gonna get a meal.
yeah, I'm getting fed and wined and dined if I'm gonna get knocked out.
Winnie and
Yeah, that's possible.
Lisa, Winnie and Lisa are fighting over fighting, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
The substance is again kind of lost in the sauce here.
Yeah.
Lisa did use a new word that I've never heard of before, which was verbatimly.
Ooh. I'm gonna have to get in touch with Merriam-Webster because that's a great word. Verbatimly.
Verbatimly. She said, you verbatimly said the exact same thing, bitch.
Wow. This is, yeah, a brand
That
new word.
put that on some merch. One thing is that Lisa, so Whitney and Angie are like very clearly like forming a like an entente kind of. They're
Yeah.
very much on the same side,
Yes.
and Angie kind of
Yes.
gets drawn into the conflict. And then Lisa does this thing where she's like, Lisa's doing a great job of imitating everyone, which is always hilarious. But she says that Angie like what tries to like hustle her off the show, or sorry, they're off the phone when
Yeah.
they're having long drawn out phone
Oh,
conversations,
yes.
and she basically says, "Oh, like do you need to go? Is Electra calling you? Her daughter Electra, is Electra
Right.
calling you? Do you need to go get that? Because that's what you say when you don't want to talk to me anymore." This is always like the third rail of Housewives. Like, don't talk about anyone's kids, even if it's like a
Yeah.
fairly neutral thing.
Yeah.
Angie predictably blows up. But
Yeah.
the way you could not torture that out of me, if I knew that someone didn't want to talk to me anymore and used the same line to get me off the phone, I would never tell anyone that.
No. That's those are nighttime thoughts that you have
Yes.
by yourself at the in the midst of like a dark night of the soul. You do
Yeah.
not shoot you don't share those things. No.
Lisa was having a shower argument with Angie that got
Bubbled
outside. It
over.
bubbled up. It bubbled over outside of the shower.
Yeah. Yeah,
Best part
I
of
that you couldn't get that out of me.
this entire argument is Mary is off in the corner, dozing off. This is the moment I think where Mary realized she might be in the sunken place.
Oh God. Yeah, well, she really might though.
Which is so interesting to me that like this person who, when she first joined the show, first season,
Oh.
was so beyond kooky, was the strangest person I had ever seen on
Ever.
television, is
Ever.
now the Greek chorus voice of reason.
Yeah, yes. But she is, and it's an interesting function in the show itself. Like, I'm struggling to think of another housewife on a different show who serves that same kind of function.
Oh, Kim Richards a little
Or
bit.
does she? So this is one I haven't watched, so I cannot say exactly.
She was
But
the
the
source of a lot of conflict, but also at a certain point she got so wacky that she was kind of like she could break the tension in a really effective
Okay,
way. Yeah. Yeah.
interesting. Okay. But this is,
Katie
but it's a.
Rost, maybe? A little Katie Rost energy.
But see, this is, but it's still an interesting function, right? Is that even if it exists in other Housewife franchises, is this character that is so wacky that it's not even that she just breaks the tension. She serves almost like a almost not the same thing, but almost like a jester role. She indicates something about the ridiculousness of what's happening without like directly pointing at it. She is capable of in some way indicating that it exists. And it seems like Mary is serving this function as like not just someone to let up some of the intensity of when these women are screaming at each other, but also to indicate how silly some of the screaming is because, you know, her dad lived down the street from Jeffrey Dahmer, or
Yeah,
she's falling asleep.
she's I can't remember the exact what came to mind when you said that. I can't remember the exact play, but there is a Shakespeare play where there's a fool character who's kind of an omniscient narrator. If I'm Is it Gentlemen of Verona, maybe, or
I think there could be more, there may be more than
there
one.
might be more than one, but there's kind of this like sinister, funny clown character who is
Yeah.
also sort of a narrator of what's going on. And she kind of gives that a little bit.
She does.
Yeah.
She does.
Is it
Sort of a fool, but
Trinculo in The Tempest, kind of.
yeah, Puck is this
Yeah.
character. Yorick in Hamlet is this sort of, yeah,
Kind of a little downtrodden, but kind of funny, a little
kind of.
sinister, a little weird, and you get the sense that they sort of know a bit more. There's, you know what it is? It's accomplishing this like breaking the fourth wall thing that Heather's trying to do all the time. This like wink
Yes.
and wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing without
Yes.
actually doing the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like she, what Mary is not paying any attention to what the audience thinks or cares about, but
No.
she is a proxy for the audience without even trying.
Yeah, exactly. She is this, yeah, exactly right. She is a proxy for the audience while at the same time being part of the show. And so she is almost like an amalgamation of a chorus and jester character, which
Totally.
means she has certain kinds of wisdom she could impart, but also she's almost unconsciously a step ahead, and not in terms of strategy. She's just sort of a step ahead or outside, like in terms of narrative, not strategy, right? She's not trying to do something. She's just like, yeah, well, this is what's going to happen, so I'm
Did
over
you see
here.
the Denzel Washington Macbeth
I
black and white?
didn't. I really wanted to, but I
There's
didn't.
a phenomenal actress who plays all three of the witches, is
Oh.
one character, and she's like so strange. She's like this kind of contortionist. She has this
Ooh.
very strange like gravelly accent. She is so weird and she's
Oh.
so great. She's the best part of the movie. I think she was nominated for an Oscar for just for that part. That is Mary.
Really?
She is like the weird. No, and also actually in Macbeth, I think the witches are, they are kind of like omniscient narrators a little bit. They
A little
foretell,
bit, yeah.
they forebode so much of what's
Yeah.
going to go down.
Yeah.
And that's Mary. She's like the, she's, or like, you know, I was just thinking the, in the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie, there's that like swamp, there's that like swamp witch who kind of like,
Yeah,
she has the,
what's her
she
name? Tia
shakes,
Dalma.
she's got the bones and she like
Yeah.
knows what's going to happen. That's
Yeah.
a little bit
Yeah.
of Mary maybe.
That is a little bit of Mary.
Mary's favorite person makes another toast during this dinner, Brittany. Everyone kind of like you can hear everyone's butthole like tighten up when she clinks her
Yep.
glass again.
Oh my God.
And she says, I mean, it was sort of predictable. She's like, Jared and I, drum roll, are officially broken up. And she attributes this to an epiphany she
The
had.
name of the episode, The Epiphany.
The epiphany, the night before. I don't know if realizing that your maybe boyfriend possibly cheated on you is like an epiphany. An epiphany to me, like okay, in the biblical sense, the epiphany is like right, the like the miraculous apparition, like something that just comes out of nowhere and Eureka, you know, strikes you like a bolt of lightning. This is like
Right.
more of an educated deduction.
Yeah, yes. This is more of a like, huh, I thought about this and it logically follows that we are not together.
Yeah, the evidence shows.
Yeah. It is certainly not like the like the bolt of lightning,
Hallelujah moment.
sudden, yeah, the sudden, like, oh my gosh, I have a new understanding of something. I
Yeah.
hope that's not like,
But
girl.
this epiphany conversation produces an encounter, an exchange that completely changed my view on Britney with an I. I have a whole new regard for her after what went down at that dinner table, which is so Bronwyn's kind of feeling herself. I think she like is she's got all these like quips and barbs, and she's having these fashion moments, and she I think she kind of can tell that she's gonna. At this point, I think she's competing with Britney for the other full-time contract. And I think at this moment, she kind of knows that she's clinched it. And she's maybe gotten a little ahead of her skis, to use a snow sport metaphor on Salt Lake City. And basically, the conversation about Britney and Jared breaking up turns into a conversation about why Britney liked Jared to begin with. Some of the women at the table sort of speculate that she was enamored by the Osmond fame. The possibility of living on Osmond Lane, which I Google street searched after this, it's not that great. Like, it's nice. The houses are big, but I was not particularly impressed by Osmond Lane. Neither was Lisa Barlow. I think she said, like, in the
No.
90s, it was nice. But basically, Brittany says, and you can tell she's been holding on to this for a while. She says, Bronwyn, why don't you worry less about my relationship and worry about your marriage? Which seems a little bit out of left field at first. It does.
It seems that way.
It seems that way. What follows is perhaps the most transparent and honest conversation I've ever seen on one of these shows about gold digging.
That's right.
And I have a lot of
Yeah.
thoughts.
Okay. I have many thoughts about gold digging.
Let's see if we're on the same page. I'll just tell you my one line elevator pitch thesis. Gold digging, colon, not so bad.
Yeah.
I don't
That's right.
I don't think it's so bad.
No.
It's what's interesting to me is like it's this like untouchable, undiscussable thing. There have been essentially gold diggers on these shows since they started. There have been younger, attractive women who have married older men with money and power on these shows since the beginning, but it's never been spoken about in such honest terms. No one has come to a dinner table and been like, did you straight up marry your husband for money? And are you even attracted to him? Which is what
Yeah,
Brittany
no, that
said.
was right, which was a like such that question cut through so much.
Bronwyn has been poking Brittany with like little sticks and barbs for a couple episodes now. Brittany turned around and whacked her in the head with a 2x4.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And so, okay, so first thing, gold digging. Not so bad. I don't have any issue with gold digging. I think the thing that bothers people about gold, I think there's a few things that bother people about the idea of gold digging, right? One of them is that we have inherited from like romance films from the 1950s, maybe a little bit before, that marriage is supposed to be about love. And historically, what a load of shit. It's never, it's not really been about that. That is a new
Oh,
phenomenon,
it's about how
right?
many
That,
goats you have.
yes,
Quite literally.
yes, L literally, right? It's about marriage is for most of human history, and I don't love to do big, broad sweeps like that, but this is one of those ones you can kind of say, for most of human history and in most places, marriage is not about love at all. It's about alliance. It's about dynasty, if you're talking about wealthy people, which is who we're ostensibly talking about, right? It's about d building dynasties. It's about inheritance. It's about property. It's love, if it exists in that way at all. I'm not coming out against love. I'm just saying it's incidental to
Yeah.
the marriage agreement.
It grows. It
Right,
can grow.
it could grow. it also may not, and it may end up being simply a marriage of alliance that's really about securing something else. And we have this idea
Somebody
that,
talk to Mary Cosby about that.
look, but this is the thing, is this is, I think, what bothers people the most about gold digging, and then about its accusation, because those are different. Like the idea of gold, being a gold digger, and then accusing someone of being a gold digger, is gold digging in and of itself touches on what we're never supposed to say about marriage, which is that it's about, in certain ways, the exchange of women for money. That's what it is.
And I think even today we can view it in pretty stark terms. I mean, it doesn't seem like Bronwyn was in a situation where she was necessarily destitute or powerless and was looking for protection, but it's an exchange of superficial qualities, right? It's like older rich man is looking for this superficial quality of youthfulness and
That's
beauty
right.
and sexual appeal and maybe fertility, although I guess they didn't have any kids together. And Bronwyn is looking for stability, financial stability, security, comfort, material things. It's an exchange of superficial qualities, and everyone looks for certain superficial qualities and certain deeper qualities in a
That's
partnership.
right. Right, because there are ways that you could get into a gold digging, like be a gold digger, get into a certain kind of situation, and go, oh, I may actually have to kill this person, or the price that I have to pay to have access to this money is actually, it's not worth it anymore. You can really, and people do find themselves in these kinds of situations. The accusation of gold digging, which is like sort of the other side, which is what Brittany's leveling, right, is like, she's accusing her, is about pointing out that there is something we don't like about the idea
A
of
predatory woman.
marriage being, well, of marriage being a transaction.
I hear that, but I think it's kind of even grosser in a place like Utah. I think there's this sort of insidious impulse for women and men to protect powerful men. Like that man built his fortune, and this little floozy is coming around, and she's going to get a piece of that just by batting her eyelashes. And I think there's this kind of subconscious territoriality, like we protect our king.
And I think that's definitely part of it. And funnily enough, the accusation against Bronwyn from Brittany starts with just the whisper of the implication that what Brittany wanted out of Donnie, or not Donnie Osmond, out of Jared Osmond, was access to the Osmond name,
Exactly. Yeah.
right?
Which I wish Brittany had followed that thread a little bit more and kind of flipped it and been like, well, this is no different than what you just asked me. You're taking such offense to a question that you just asked me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And
She didn't really follow it though. She kind of
she didn't
just.
know, she didn't follow, because the accusation is really, even in a community like this, is the accusation really, first of all, can hurt, but also can have real effects, right? It can really destabilize a relationship. And this is on television. This is not like it was a private conversation that two people had, or a group of women had. This was on television,
I know.
a public accusation of you having married your partner for
Yeah.
their money.
It's so
It's
interesting though, because it's so clear. It's so obvious to everyone, but it's this verboten thing that
right.
is going to cause turmoil, pain, insult, offense. And yet it's so obvious. It'd be like someone walking around with a massive purple mark on their face, right? Purple furry mark, and you can't say anything about it because you don't want to offend, but it's there and it's.
It is. And the thing is like, we know that that's it, look, the internal workings of Bronwyn, and I don't even know her husband's name,
Todd.
Todd. Bronwyn, did I watch this show? Of course I did.
It's okay.
I never remember the men's names. I don't know who these men are. The only one I remember is Coach Shaw. But the internal working, how the dynamic of the relationship between Bronwyn and Todd works actually is not at issue, and it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter to the accusation of gold digging, right? It's meaningless. And this is why I think your initial reaction, which I agree with 100%, gold digging, kind of fine. Who care?
And also no prenup. Good for her.
No prenup. Powerful. That's
Yes.
powerful. Good for her. The people who get the most, the men I've seen get the most worked up about gold digging are men who don't have anything. They're the ones who I see get the most worked up about this, is guys who have this sort of this hypothetical future fortune that some beautiful young woman is going to want to take part in at some point, right? And this unleashes a whole host of questions about them and their psychology. But the thing is that, like, actually powerful men, I don't think really care in that way.
No.
Because on the one hand, they do absolutely have teams of lawyers, and there's no prenup in this case, but they have teams of lawyers, there's contracts, there's all sorts of things. In certain ways, these are business transactions. They are. And so what would they care if they get a hot piece of ass? Because that's what it's about in a lot of cases. They have a beautiful companion, a lovely, beautiful companion around them. They're not parting with everything. And if they get some of it, yes, divorces with this kind of situation can get really hideous. Of course they can, but that's not the point. The point is the present transaction of the gold digger and the one being dug upon. That's it. And if they're satisfied, who really cares? No one.
I think I agree 100%. Substance of this fight aside, it was really nice to see, like, that was like a true to form Housewives conflict. Like, I actually think Brittany's going to stick around for a while, and we're going to see a lot of that return Bronwyn versus Brittany if they both stick around, because that was majestic. That was like watching two lionesses fight over a buffalo carcass. Like, it was
For sure. And they're staged as great foils for each other. They
totally.
like they really are staged as good foils.
Yeah, even down to the haircut. One's got a
Absolutely.
hair down to her butt. One's got the severe
Crispy Bob.
bob sliced off at the jawline. After the Harley Museum, there's a quick trip to a drag show, which was, fine.
It was kind of a hot nothing.
I like that Whitney is so supportive of the drag community. I think it's important, like in a
Same.
place like Utah, to see someone like that being so
Same.
outwardly and unapologetically supportive
Yes.
of drag queens.
And to see all the women go with zero resistance. It's not a topic of discussion. Of course, we're going to this drag show and we're getting on stage and we're being involved. And I like, yes, especially in particular, the climate in which this was filmed, because drag is not the bugbear of the culture war right now, but particularly in like last year, when this was filmed, to 2023, this was a good move, and drag shows are a blast.
They are. None of those women can
So,
dance.
no,
That was
oof,
rough.
no, that was.
It's a lot of swaying and Angie kind of like hinging her pelvis in a strange way.
It was unsettling. It
It
was an
was
unsettling
unsettling.
version of dance. But they're from Utah.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do? Even Mary.
No comment.
She
I'm not
absorbed
talking about that.
some of that Utah rhythm.
Oh, yes. Yes, she did.
She did look like she was having a great time though, which I appreciate.
Yes,
I like seeing
I
a
appreciate
pen.
that too.
It is amazing to see a Pentecostal pastor get down with some drag queens.
With some drag queens, which it does also like loosen up some of the Mary issues. Is like, if she's like, she could have sat it out, she could have dug her heels in, she could have done, as she has done, has had a history of doing, being like, I'm not doing that. She was right there, and sick. Love that for her. Are you gonna bring up the this that very important sartorial choice?
The hot dog.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I'll bring it up. My top line note is, I saw it, I immediately knew it was Jeremy Scott from Moschino. Like, I immediately knew. And I am so bored by him. And like, I'm not surprised that Bronwyn. I have, you know what? I promise this is not going to turn into the Mary show, but my reaction was Mary's reaction, which
Mary's
is
reaction.
costume.
Costume. Absolutely a costume. Absolutely a costume. I'm going to politely, words. Politely disagree. I fucking loved it. I loved it, partially because I am supposed to be dressing up. I was considering dressing up as a hot dog for Halloween.
Oh, you
And
should do
so
it.
I was like, ah, oh, perfect hot dog costume. But also the fact of the little hat
Yeah, the jaunty hat.
as the little nozzle,
Yeah.
I just, you
Which
know,
isn't how hot dogs work, but that's okay.
no, not at all. But
None of these
I
women have ever
just,
eaten a hot dog.
it was no. It was a kind of it was a kind of costuming, because it was a costume.
Yeah.
It was a kind of costuming that I found really fun and silly. And the thing about it with Bronwyn is she looks totally comfortable
She does.
in these very, very, very outrageous outfits. She looks totally comfortable and at ease.
Yeah.
And so even if it looks like a costume, she doesn't wear it like a costume. And I love that for her.
Yeah,
So great.
can see that. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking
Yeah.
forward to seeing your is it have you moved away from the hot dog idea for Halloween or?
I just don't have anywhere to go because I'm not in LA,
Oh,
and
yeah.
you know,
I get it.
it's the I don't it's too crunchy up here where I live to get a really good
Well,
like
I
gay
what
Halloween. So
Bronwyn would say dress for the Halloween that you want, not the Halloween that you
that's
have.
that is you know what, and I should be inspired by her and get my little hot dog costume
I think you should. Even if you're
for
hanging at home, I think you should. All
Maybe I
right.
will.
Well, thanks for joining me today.
Yes, once
Yeah.
again, very fun. I do love talking about these women. They really are just such a delight.
They are. And that
such
is,
a
yeah,
delight.
that is one word for it. All right. Well, until
Okay.
next week, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Not Above It, the podcast for serious people who love unserious TV. You can follow the show on Instagram at Not Above It Pod, and you can email me your thoughts, concerns, criticisms, hopes, dreams, love letters, diatribes, whatever you got to notaboveitpodcast@gmail.com. I would love it if you could also please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate and review it. Please be kind or don't. Spicy reviews are fine. They're welcome. They keep things interesting. All right, until next time, friends. Bye.